Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And I got to say, someone that I've admired over many, many years, a very special guest is joining us today, Dr. Joseph Mercola, a true trailblazer in this space of health freedom and health education. He really set the tone for many years. He was really the first, and in many cases, sometimes the only person out there kind of dominating the information space and teaching people about natural health and prevention. And I have no doubt that Dr. Mercola has saved, or at least contributed to the saving of, literally millions of lives over the years that he's been doing what he does. And he joins me now today to talk about how he has been harassed and deplatformed and financially blacklisted as an effort to try to silence him and to try to harm humanity, because Dr. Mercola is saving humanity. So Dr. Joseph Mercola, welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you on, sir.
Well, thank you for having me, Mike, and thank you for those kind words. You know, I'm reminded of the efforts that I've invested over a quarter century in doing this work. When I go to events and conferences to speak at, I mean, that's one of my motivations to go there live and interact with the public, because the feedback I get is just amazing. Invariably, many people come up to me and share their personal stories of how the information I shared with them or educated or tidbits really saved themselves or a family member or radically changed their life. And it's just so heartwarming. It usually brings me to tears. So oh, yeah. Kind of like the harvest phase of my life now, where you know, you're sharing the information for so long that it's had time to grow and now reap so many bountiful benefits. So,
well, I think there's no question that your impact on the world, you know, if we could visualize it, it would be like a positive healing shockwave that just got sent out all over the world and frankly pissed off a lot of people in positions of power,
yes.
Right? Which is kind of what we're talking about today. So, I think our audience is probably familiar with the more recent news, but could you just walk us through it about what happened in Florida with JPMorgan Chase and, I think Steve Rai and his family members and so on, the debanking that's just outrageous. Can you walk us through that, please?
Sure. A few weeks ago, we received a letter to our business, and actually the CEO of our company, Steve Rai, and our CFO, Amy Legaspi, who's both been with me for close to 20 years. And the letter was from Chase stating that they were giving us a month to take our funds out of their bank because we lost our accounts and they didn't give us a reason, even though subsequently we questioned them and they pushed them and they said they couldn't for privacy policy reasons or some lame excuse. But what's particularly egregious about this action is that it was not only directed at me, but my employees who those are their key employees, you know, that run the company, but just by association, which is sort of the primary characteristic of the social credit system that China deploys, is that association is enough to cancel you out. So they had not only their personal accounts removed, eliminated, but that of their spouses and their children.
Unreal. Their children.
It's just shocking that they would do that, but they did.
I mean, it's like, okay, even your progeny is not allowed to bank here ever. I mean, what is this? This is, and now we're, as I understand it, I mean, there are no allegations that you in any way violated any banking laws. You know, you weren't laundering, you know, casino money or anything like that, right? You're selling nutritional products and
yeah,
food.
Yeah, well, their ostensible claim or justification for this was that 2 years ago, we received a warning letter from the FDA for suggesting that vitamin D might be useful to treat COVID. So that was enough.
How dare you?
There was never a fine. There was never anything beyond that. We were never, they've never finalized any action against us other than giving a warning letter. So they used that as a weak, very weak justification for this action.
Wow.
But you know, it's interesting. CISA was the, I forget what the, you probably remember what that acronym stands for, but they've had meetings in the past. It's a central intelligence agency and some type of IT infrastructure that the national government put together. And they had meetings with all these big players, mostly IT, and they had one financial institution there. You know what that institution was? It was Chase.
Yeah.
So they're clear, you know, social media people. So they seem to be tied in with this whole effort, aligned and colluding with the government to implement their plans, clearly,
But
which is,
I mean, it's extraordinary what you're relating here. And I think when I covered this in my podcast, I said that I hope that you sue Chase for violating your civil rights. Now, I don't know if, I mean, you know, we didn't pre-discuss this, but is there any possibility of taking civil action against Chase for this kind of discrimination?
Well, it gets really good. And I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that once you initiate litigation, there's quite significant costs involved.
Yes.
Typically, you know, six figures, frequently, sometimes 10 to 7, maybe even 8. And that's a pretty significant price to bear. And typically in litigation, the only, unless you have some strategic objective, the only party that wins are the lawyers and the law firms, you know.
Right.
So it gets really good in this case, though, because Florida, the state of Florida, passed a law in May of this year, 2023, forbidding this very type of discrimination and action by banks.
Oh, wow.
So we are going to be the test case. We've already worked with the Florida State Attorney General, and they are filing suit against Chase, and we'll be the test for this new law.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, I mean, that's the first I've heard of that.
It doesn't cost us anything.
That's amazing. I mean, did you previously announce this, or is...
I think we did. I know I've mentioned it on different podcasts, but
okay.
I don't know, formally announced it in our newsletter.
Well, this is huge, and you know, it's very interesting. A little bit of inside baseball. We were scheduled to meet with the Texas Attorney General on the day that he was impeached, or you know, pulled out of office. Right. So they sent a message to him: don't you dare go against Big Pharma. In our case, it was about big tech censorship. So Texas was considering funding our lawsuit against big tech, which we are now funding ourselves instead, but kind of a similar situation. State of Florida on your side, and you have a law to back it up now.
Yeah. I'm not even sure if Chase was aware that the law existed. You know how big Chase is, a huge institution. And you know, the larger a company gets, the more likely it is that they're not aware of all the updates because there's too many darn moving parts.
Right.
So it's very possible, but likely even probable, they weren't aware that this new law was even passed.
Wow. Well, then we have to thank Governor DeSantis in that case and the Florida legislature and the fact that you are a resident of Florida, correct? And
so I've been for over 10 years.
You have standing. I mean, it's wow. This seems like an open and shut case. Please keep us posted, because if this sets a precedent, I mean, this could be a game changer, even if maybe it goes to the Supreme Court at some point. And we get a SCOTUS ruling on this. Who knows?
I don't know, but it's really good news for us. I mean, it definitely a hassle factor, especially in light of the fact that our CFO, Amy, her husband has a terminal illness, and one of the symptoms is dementia. It requires 24/7 care in a hospital setting. So his Chase account was being used to fund this, and it was a real challenge for her. So it's just, I mean, it's just shockingly criminal behavior that they're implementing, but it's not surprising. It's sort of par for the game, and in some ways even less repugnant and offensive than many of the drug company actions
that we've seen,
especially with COVID. Jeez, killing all these people. They're killing people.
They absolutely. Yeah. It's genocide, in my opinion, what's going on. But you know, stepping back a couple of decades, when you first started doing this, I think that was in the late 1990s, is that correct?
Yeah, 97, right.
Right.
We started my site before Google started theirs.
Okay, yeah, exactly. But all throughout, I mean, even up through, you know, 2015, it seems, you and I and others, we could say almost anything we wanted to say at that time.
And the internet wasn't censored, and you could find health information, which is the
yes.
key I'm going to talk about. I mentioned when we were on
Go ahead.
Before we aired was... This is it. It is not only this deplatforming, but it's the censoring. It's the obliteration, the burning of the Library of Alexandria, where all this valuable, hard-fought, hard-earned knowledge and information we've had to change health and human lives is being essentially destroyed. It still technically exists, but unless you know the URL or someone that does, you are not going to find it because the search engines will not include it.
I completely agree with you, and I've said that Google has become a disinformation engine, and that the goal of Google, in my opinion, is to disconnect humanity from the knowledge that could save
humanity.
And
they're doing really good. You know, I was just, we just we wrote an article on this just a few days ago. I think it comes out next week. And we, as an example, we wrote the triple plandemic of 2023. Put that in there. There are 41 million hits that came up. 41 million. That's a lot, right? You think you could read deeply on this. Well, you put it in there and you try to, using Google as a search engine, you try to scroll down, you will not get past 100 links. That's all they're showing you. It is physically impossible to find anything else.
Wow.
100 links. That is it. Did you know that's the limit? Cannot go deeper than that.
I didn't know that.
But they can easily control that the top 100. So if they don't want something there, you'll never see it on their search engine. And their search engine comprises a minimum of 93%, either directly or indirectly, and probably maybe 95 to 97%, because virtually all alternative search engines uses their index. Because and you know about that because you're an IT guy. So, I mean, you could explain it to your audience better than I can, but it's just extraordinary.
Yeah, well, it's extremely costly to run, you know, spidering server farm that spiders the web and then indexes it and then it returns meaningful search results. I mean, it's several hundred million dollars in infrastructure to do that well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even we made some early attempts that got sidelined for various technical reasons. But there are some other engines out there that are trying to take a shot at it. But as you said, Google dominates that space, and Google is in the disinformation business. And YouTube just announced new medical misinformation guidelines, expanding that. So you're probably never going to be able to say even like vitamin C can help prevent, you know, scurvy, or that vitamin D might prevent rickets. I mean, just the basics that used to be taught in medical school. You won't be able to state those things any longer.
Yeah, it's just shocking. But there may be a workaround. And as you were explaining the IT infrastructure, it occurred to me that you would probably know the answer to this with your deep knowledge of IT and the how querying it works. I would think you'd be able to query the internet without using Google. And if that's the case, then that actually is pretty good news, because, of course, these large language models are out there. And are a lot like ChatGPT as an example, but there are others like Chad and I forget their company, but anyway, that if you could, it would be a lot less expensive to do that and have them do the search, so that they could have this infrastructure and database to essentially be an alternative to the search engines. And even, you know, Google and certainly Microsoft and all the others are integrating them solidly into their existing search engine strategies, to the point where the conventional search engine probably will not be around in within a year or two, I would think. It's just going to be, you're going to ask it a question, it'll give you the answer. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on these alternative large language models that could be put together. And the funding, I don't think, would be hundreds of millions to do that.
No, you're exactly right. We've looked into this quite a bit ourselves, and there are some really solid open source language models that can be used with quite a lot of, you know, processing power for the ingestion of mm-hmm. all of the content. But you get to a really critical point here, Dr. Mercola, which is that the AI systems only really regurgitate what they've been mm-hmm. fed.
Right.
Right. So the goal of Google, in my opinion, and Wikipedia and whoever else, is to feed the pro-pharma anti-nutrition information into the AI systems so that dominates the knowledge base of humanity from here forward. You know, they're, like you said, they're erasing indigenous medicine. They're erasing traditional Chinese medicine, herbal medicine, all of these things, superfoods, you know, nutrition, vibrational medicine, all of it. It's going to be erased from human existence, except for those who tune into alternative language models. And I agree with you, Joe, that I think an organization like yours or mine, for frankly just a few million dollars, we could build mm-hmm. a natural health language oracle of sorts that you query, and it brings you back knowledge based on the work of people like you. And it's totally doable.
I certainly have an important contribution, but there are hundreds, thousands, tens
there
are, of thousands
absolutely,
of others
yeah.
who've done amazing work. People, my mentors, who taught me all these things. But the point is, it's out there, and it was getting better and better, and right, until 2015 when everything started to decline. They said, okay, we're putting the hammer down. It's, you know, the good times are over. The good times are over.
Well, I think they had to get the ignorance chapter ready for COVID, right? Because I mean, you and I think both believe that this was all planned. They planned a pandemic, but they had to make sure that people could not find answers. And then they had to, you know, sideline ivermectin and dismiss vitamin D or zinc or anything else and push you know, their murderous protocols in the hospitals and create more deaths than would otherwise happen in order to spread panic and fear and get compliance with the vaccines. I mean, that's what we just lived through.
So it surprised me when I was named number one, the disinformation dozen list, and Bobby was number two, that you never even made damn list. How could they leave you out? Or why do you think they left you out? It's obviously intentionally, because you were much bigger than most of the people on there and had made much more of a dent.
My theory,
why they left you out.
No, I was a little surprised too, but my theory was that they had so successfully censored me and deplatformed me. See,
that
so
you weren't an issue.
That I wasn't on Twitter. I wasn't on anything. I had already been dealt with in essence.
Just like, in some ways, you know, because Alex interviewed me recently and he said, I'm so jealous, or how come you got on and I didn't get on? Because Alex had a much larger audience than I did, but they already did the same thing to Alex.
That's
they
right.
Just
That's
obliterated.
Right.
They decimated him.
No, it was, as I understand it, that list was really focused on who were the channels that were still on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay.
And I think you had been able to maintain more of a presence there. I think you were.
And YouTube too.
And YouTube. Exactly. Exactly. I think you're a lot more strategic in your communications, and I'm just like, I'm just going to say whatever I think.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, it's kind of like, fact, we didn't get banned until YouTube until, you know, pretty far into the pandemic. And it was only because we had no strike. We had not one single strike the entire COVID pandemic. They never gave us a strike. But what they did do is one day they just completely changed the rules. Completely.
Yeah.
And they said, if you ever posted anything, not about COVID, but about anything that was anti-vax, you're out.
Yeah.
Which actually violates their terms of service, a total violation. So just actually a few weeks ago, we filed suit against them, and Bobby filed suit too, because they did. So Bobby and I the same day, Bobby Kennedy, they just took us out with no warnings. And that's totally violates their terms of service, because they have to give you a notification and an opportunity to change your offense.
Yes.
But we had no offense other than they created a rule. And that day, you know, so it was like retroactively active. So
we might end up in the same lawsuit, because we're also engaging right now with YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Google. And
well, you know, there's a two-year statute of limitations, though, because we filed it like a day before our statute expired.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are some interesting legal arguments for, you know, ongoing harm and reharm. We actually were reharmed. By these platforms. They sent us emails again. They made a mistake. They made a big strategic mistake sending us, YouTube did this. They sent us an email. They accidentally sort of reactivated us for a day, and then they rebanned us. So that restarted the clock on our stand.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a big mistake on their part, but, we jumped on it. So, but you know, I want to bring up something that you mentioned earlier about you're building a knowledge base that of natural health information that you're going to be releasing. I'd like you to talk about it in a second, but you know, it's going to come down to we, the people, to put out the information that the establishment is trying to utterly destroy from human history. So talk to us about your effort coming up, that I know you're working on it right now, to just kind of encapsulate your many decades of research and communication about this.
Well, I've been passionate about health in my whole life, you know, literally, I think it started in the 60s. So we're coming up. This is the middle of my fifth decade now, and exploring in my journey to learn more. And I've made a lot of missteps along the way. And a lot of things I started with, I totally reversed my feelings about. So with this progressively increasing censorship, and as you mentioned and alluded to, the removal of basically all this information that we know is solid and true and will radically change your life and improve your ability to get off of and or rely on pharmaceutical medications and address the foundational cause of what's causing your health challenge. But not only that, but how to implement relatively simple, inexpensive strategies, things like sunlight. I mean, I've made a list. I want to have like 50 modules. Each module is like, I'm viewing the whole course as a compilation of my life work. And what is the core, the essence? You know, when you and I frequently lecture at events, and you go in a lecture and, you talk for like an hour. Sometimes you get two, maybe you get 3 hours. That's a rarity, of course. But even in a 3 hour presentation, I at least I find myself always struggling to share what I want to share because there's simply not enough time.
Right.
But this gives me unlimited time, as much time as I need to share the principles that people are going to take and use and really have as a safeguard, as an emergency kit that they need. Because I believe that, I mean, the censorship is getting progressively worse. It's obvious to anyone who has any critical thinking skills left. And with that and the information not being available, I think there's also another risk that not many people talk about. You probably have, but there's a significant risk that the internet may come down. So not as only is it being censored, but we won't have access to the internet. They'll have it under the guise of some, what do they call them? The red flags, not the red flags, like 9/11. What was that? What's the term for that?
Well, I mean, I know.
False flag. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. False flag operations. Yeah, sure. So, they can create something.
Yeah, it'll be a false flag event. And, they'll use it as a justification to take the internet down, or so domestic terrorism a threat. You know, so I think both you and I are domestic terrorists, in case you didn't know.
I don't know. I haven't checked recently, but I'm sure somebody's claiming that. But, you know, Dr. McCullough.
Well, I didn't finish. Let me finish.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, I know this is coming. And in preparation for that, and I feel this pressure to compile everything and put it out. So I've written 17 books. Most all of them were bestsellers, but and that's not a process I really enjoy. So I decided to revector my effort that I would normally put in writing a book to doing these modules, which will be videos of about typically at least an hour, sometimes maybe longer, 2 hours. And then that module will have an opportunity to ask questions that we compile, and then, you know, that didn't we issues we didn't address, or there's some confusion on, then I could release a follow-up video to do that. And the beautiful thing about these video modules is that if some new development happens or some research is published, I can go in there and shoot an update. You can't do that with a book. You cannot do it. I can shoot an update and send an email to everyone, and here's the change and what my new thinking is on this topic. So I'm really excited about that. And we have to really put it behind a strategic firewall of sorts. So it can't really be public. I do not want the Google crawlers on this thing. And so we're going to put it on our Substack site. And the Substack site is a subscription site. So it provides some legal defenses too, which I had problems with before, as you well know. I took down all the content on my site and in the process of converting most all of it over to Substack. And we made a good dent in it. So anyone who subscribes to my site can look at my old articles, but I said, I've got to make something better. My new book's going to be there, and it's going to be essentially, if you're subscribed to Cyber, it's free. Or if you're not, it's like $5 a month or $4 a month if you buy a year subscription. So it's really, really affordable. Because, I mean, the content of this course, I mean, literally, I mean, you've seen and been involved with, I'm sure, many of these docu-series courses.
Right.
And if you buy those, it's hundreds of dollars. And for professional training, it's thousands, maybe $10,000. So it's literally going to be the quality of that caliber and probably even more information. So I'm really excited to bring this to the people who need it and in an affordable format. So
Do you have a name for it yet?
My team's working on what was Charm, which was, I forget how it's charmed. It's about increasing your resiliency in crisis is a C. The M is mastery. R is resiliency. I don't know what the A is. I forgot what the A is. Crisis something resilience mastery course. So essentially preparation. To keep you, I feel embarrassed I didn't remember the name of it, but I didn't come up with the name, so my team did. So,
no, that's
okay. It was pretty clever.
Well, I the only reason I ask is because we want to, I mean, please keep us posted about the status of this. I know our audience would be very interested. And I mean, me too. I'd love to see what you have. And, you know, to encapsulate all of this in one place is going to be very powerful. Now, I'll share something with you about the structure of our information, what you and I are doing and others, and how to avoid the censorship that's coming. And, you know, I'm working a lot with a lot of people in the space of decentralization and peer-to-peer technologies.
Perfect. That's what we need.
And yeah, and because, and I'll even say this, we have an internal plan now to take our whole platform, which is Brighteon, and to, and because right now it's a centralized platform, which so is Substack, right? If Substack decided to take any of us down, they could do that just on a whim. Well,
or if someone decides it, like the military decides to take Substack out.
right, exactly.
Which they could easily be a target.
So I believe that the future of information freedom will be found in non-domain name systems that are decentralized and peer-to-peer, that where you can distribute information. And so we've on the Qortal system, Qortal.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with Qortal.
Qortal, yeah.
Sayer G clued me into them.
Exactly.
I talked to the founder.
We've interviewed the founder a couple times. I'm not an investor in anything like that, but we did fund a version of Brighteon on Qortal that's a video distribution system that's peer-to-peer and nothing can be censored. I found another one called Bastion, Bastyon, which looks like Twitter. And I interviewed the founder, but it's actually a decentralized content distribution system where you run an app and it just talks to other apps as nodes over TCP/IP. Even if the State Department took down all the domain names, you could still use Bastion.
And nice.
And by the way, since this is not live, I'll just encourage you should reserve Mercola on Bastion. Yeah, exactly. You can do it. It doesn't even cost anything. You just go on there, you reserve Mercola, you get a key, and that's it. And you can log in and you can post and distribute.
There's another decentralized system, and we've actually reserved a domain on it.
There's one called Nostr. Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't heard of Nostr, but I forget what it is. The problem is that you don't get all the functionality that you do on the regular web.
That's right.
It's like you can't even form dynamic pages. You know, there's a lot of limitations.
Currently,
it's better than nothing for sure, but you know, it's almost like it has to be an emergency backup.
Well, that's the way I look at these as an emergency broadcast channel. So that if they were to take down, you know, because the State Department takes down domain names all the time, usually related to counterfeiting, you know, Gucci bags or whatever, Rolex watches. But they can take down domain names. They can seize domains. If they were to seize yours or mine, an emergency channel could function in a peer-to-peer system. But I think long-term, we have to understand that the current Web 2.0 will never be allowed to be as free as it once was before 2015.
Yeah, it's just obvious as can be if anyone's awake. So which one of those strategies do you think is the best bet at this point?
Well, I say right now, use every peer-to-peer system. Get your get your channel name, your name running, and start cross-posting there and encourage people to use those peer-to-peer systems. Because even like when I interview the founders and I ask them off camera and as a test, can you ban this other channel or my channel, or can you? Nope, can't do it. They can't even do it. And so even the Substack, I don't know who's going to own Substack 5 years from now.
That's right, 100%.
I mean, maybe right now
they're
great people.
They can change in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Right.
No question about it. They're committed to it now, and they've stood the test of time a few years, but it absolutely can change.
Yeah, exactly. And also, at the same time, you know, you and I never know what kind of threat or what kind of pressure is going to be applied to us, you know, to take down our domains or to stop doing what we're doing. So a system that allows other participants as well to have that redundancy, that resilience that you talk about in your course, it's critical for human civilization, I believe.
I couldn't agree more, which is why I feel so pressured and urgent, a sense of urgency to get this thing done, because it's not, my course is absolutely 100% intended for people to download to their own personal hard drive.
Yes.
For this very reason. So you don't really need to be decentralized because they've got the information. And every month that goes by is less time that I have to share it with them. So I'm working feverishly around the clock. I mean, it's like full time. I'm just working on this project. So, because I feel this desperate pressure to preserve the information and make sure that most people benefit from it.
Are you okay with people if they download that information and then they put it on a thumb drive and physically hand it to a friend or a family member? Is that okay too?
Absolutely. That's what it's for.
Great. Good. Good.
It's exactly what it's for.
Because that's also decentralization. I mean, that's how a lot of dissidents in North Korea were able to get, you know, freedom information around is on, as we call it, sneaker net, you know?
That was the original Ethernet.
That's right.
We both know.
you have a floppy disk and you hand it to somebody and then they have, but did you ever imagine we'd be facing this? I mean, in America?
That's a great question, Mike. I haven't reflected on it, but I'm not surprised. And actually, if I'm really honest, I am more surprised, really, that they let us go as long as they did. It was literally too good to be true, and I knew it. In the 90s, I knew it was too good to be true. You know, because I wasn't a big fan of the government or the military intelligence agencies. And, you know, of course, they both have deep connections to the founding of the internet and the monitoring of it. And actually, you probably know this, but one of the original founders of Wikipedia was just interviewed by Glenn Greenwald and goes into all the deep details of how it was military intelligence that is totally running that show.
Absolutely.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, there's no such thing as fair editorial coverage on Wikipedia. It's all run by the deep state for their agenda. Sure. But you know, we also see, let me ask you a bigger question. We also see that the deep state empire or even the military industrial complex, which I believe was also involved in the assassination of JFK, by the way.
Sure. Yeah.
They are running out of time globally because of the de-dollarization right now. They weaponized the dollar with taking down SWIFT, and they alerted, 100 plus countries to say the dollar can be weaponized against you and we can steal your money in our central banks. You know, the ability to print money is what has been powering this system of oppression and censorship this entire time. And that ability may be running out. What do you think?
Well, I'm sure you're really current as to your knowledge of the bigger picture, more so than most people I know. And I'm not convinced that any single government is in control here. I think it's people that have been around for centuries, maybe thousands of years, these families that really are the true controllers of the world.
Yes.
The global cabal. So, it's not so much about the money, it's about the power and the control, which, because they've almost have all the assets. They've collected almost all the assets. You know, there's not much more they can get. So, and you know, if the U.S. goes out, it doesn't matter. It's part of their plan. It's just, the U.S. is just a pawn anyway that they're using. So, I don't know. I think that the key is to just to gain as much knowledge as you have. And one of the modules I'm creating is the most essential skill in preparing for this coming crisis, because the crisis is coming. There is no doubt in your or my mind that it is coming. I don't know when it'll be here, but it's coming, and it's going to be worse than COVID. It's going to be far worse than COVID. That was just a trial. That was a test run, right? So, and when it comes, we need to be prepared. So we've got to have the most essential ingredient, and that is community. You are not going to survive this thing alone or do well. It's going to be miserable. You have to have a community where you're sharing knowledge. Everyone has different skill sets, and you help each other. So that's going to be a key. And there's obviously different ways to do it, but I think it's going to be next to impossible to do it in a big city. It's just not going to work. The infrastructure is there to support it, and the resources aren't there. So you got to get out of the big cities, especially, the blue cities in the north primarily, that they're democratically controlled. But even in the south, I mean, there's a lot of blue cities like Miami in Florida,
Right.
Like Austin in Texas.
Exactly. No, we're very much aware of that. and frankly, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Houston, and San Antonio as well.
Yeah, any big city, typically.
Yeah. But can you elaborate more on what you're referring to when you're talking about the next crisis coming? You mean bioweapons, another pandemic, or even bigger than that?
I don't think the global cabal knows what the next crisis is. We don't. I suspect we'll get a warning like they gave us with Event 201, weeks or months before it happens, just to prepare us, give us a heads up, because they like telling us what they're going to do.
They do.
But I don't know. It could be a bioweapon. It could be taking out the electrical grid. It could be aliens. I mean, things point towards making more sense towards the next bioweapon. But, they tried to launch a new bioweapon with that monkeypox. It wasn't too successful.
It
people
wasn't.
Are catching on to it. So I don't know, but they're definitely coming up with something. And what is even more frightening is that they've got these very sophisticated large language models, which is a new step in their arsenal to really understand what are they good. I mean, I'm sure you use them all the time, and it's almost like magic how effective and how good that these computer software programs are. But they're going to use them nefariously. They're going to use them to understand and identify exactly the triggers that are going to initiate the maximum amount of fear and give them the maximum amount of control. So absolutely, they've got that skill set now. So they didn't have that in for COVID. They've got it for the next one. So it's going to be worse just for that fact alone.
And they can also, I mean, you're 100% correct on everything you just said. And on top of that, remember, they can roll out now AI generated influencers that look like real people, that mm-hmm. that talk like real people and use the language models and really are indiscernible from a human being. So if you think about it, it's not just that Google and YouTube want to suppress human knowledge. They want to suppress humans. And ultimately what they want is that the people of the world are just sitting back, you know, consumers absorbing the propaganda that's pushed by 31 flavors of fake influencers who are AI puppets regurgitating the scripts in different ways. Oh, here's a young teenage influencer telling you to get the vaccine. Oh, here's a senior citizen influencer. Here's a black influencer. Here's a Latino influencer in Espanol. But it's all the same message. You can see mm-hmm. that coming as clear as day.
Yeah, but I think that's an intermediate stage. The ultimate stage may be global slavery and tyranny. You know, that's their end goal. They're going to get everyone under their control. And even maybe in concentration camps, you know, that would not surprise me. I'm not saying that's the case. Or even worse, euthanasia, which is ultimately what happened in Germany. So there's it's very clear that is a distinct possibility.
Well, I completely agree. Yet again, it seems like they are determined to exterminate billions of human beings. And I happen to think they're going to succeed at some level, but mm-hmm. not all the way. You know, there's a lot of pushback. And one of the things about COVID is that it did actually awaken a lot of people. I mean, think about it, Joe. You know, before COVID, if you or I had put out a video like, you know, watch out for vaccines, it might be dangerous.
I said that many times.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is that at that time, maybe only, 2% of the population would have resonated with that message. But after COVID, it's like 60% of the population, you know? So COVID actually, in a sense, became an education awakening for people to not trust the authorities like the CDC and the FDA. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. So I'm curious, because this was the big question on the plate during COVID, is what percent of the population is brainwashed irreversibly?
And, good question.
Matthias Desmond obviously did a lot of work on that. And his Psychology of Totalitarianism was the book. And he got... You know, a lot of people in our movement thought he was a controlled opposition.
I know.
It was just, come on. But, they're just creating dissension within the people who understand this. But I'm wondering what your assessment is of the number of people who are irreversibly brainwashed and propagandized. Is it more than 50% or is it 30%?
Hmm. When you add the qualifier of irreversibly, that makes it tough. I would say it's less than 50% is my guess of irreversibly. But right now, I think more than 50% are in that brainwashing mode.
Mm-hmm. If a third of them are rescuable?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, I could go with that number. But a lot of it depends on, of course, how much we win this fight for information freedom, mm-hmm. of which, you're right here at the front lines and many of us are. And funding the lawsuits and challenging and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as well, and Missouri versus Biden, a major case, that's having huge impacts. If we are successful in striking down the government collusion with big tech, then we could actually restore the flow of truthful information to people, and we could reawaken a large percentage of the population. It's not too late yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
well, that's encouraging, because you're really deep into the analysis and networking of this, so I appreciate your insights on it.
Well, I may be wrong, Joe.
Yeah, I know. No, you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah, we may be so far past the tipping point that we're all screwed. I mean, I don't know for sure.
What I doubt that's the case, but it could be. It could be. Yeah. Anything's possible. But I think ultimately, I firmly believe, and I'm basing my future actions on this and plans, is that they, you just want to go up somewhere into this little small community that's out in the middle of nowhere, you're going to be okay. They're not going to come after you. They'll just let you be. But if you want to function in what we know as conventional society, that's going to be, it's going to be on their terms, and you're not going to like those terms. And you're going to be social credited. You're going to control your finances. You think the wrong thought, and they'll probably get to that point where they'll be able to read your thoughts. You're going to be penalized and maybe taken out of the system. So that day is coming. It's very clear. The technology exists in the not too distant future to do that.
I think you've spoken on a very important point there, the technology, because with the AI systems being able to replace a lot of so-called white collar workers in society today. And then of course the, you know, kinetic robotic humanoid systems being able to increasingly replace physical muscle and work. You can see a day where Amazon warehouses, they just fire all the human workers, or, you know, 99 out of 100, and they just leave, you know, one guy there to make sure the robots don't have an uprising or something. and it's just warehouse robots all day long. And then, you know, government workers, or even, you know, university professors, or what have you, it's just AI systems just spewing out the disinformation that's been collected. And then you have to ask the question, why do the globalists want humans to be around at all at that point?
Exactly.
And they don't.
Yeah. There's no need for them.
Right.
So that's why I think it's a pretty bleak future. If you run the scenario through, just looking at what happened and what's likely to, it doesn't look very good. That's why the impetus for this course to give people one of the most important tools is, because whatever's coming, whatever the next crisis is, you need to be healthy. No question about it. And if you were following what I'm putting together, you wouldn't have probably even came down with a cold or a flu, let alone COVID, during the whole thing. And if you did, you know, there's really simple, inexpensive, 100%, and I rarely say that, 100% safe strategies that would have obliterated like almost instantly, you know, and cost pennies to do. So there are so many great strategies that are out there that can protect you and your family and help you take control of your health. And that's my absolute mission now, is to get this information out to the public and then have it decentralized through the sneaker net.
Yeah, maybe one day I'll be arrested for smuggling your course. I'll be in a parking lot trying to hand it over to somebody, and, you know, the information police will show up. You have Mercola's band, you know, contraband. Oh, yes, you caught me.
Yeah, that is a possibility. You know, it clearly is.
You know, it is.
There's dystopian science fiction novels like that. I think that would be close to Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah, very, very much so. But, you know, I'm so glad you're putting this together. I'm really a fan of your decades of knowledge and communication about this. And I'll just share this with you briefly. I recently had an experience that also taught me about the power of nutrition and healing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know this, but this index finger right here was, I almost lost it. I almost completely severed the finger.
Oh, are we working on the farm or?
Yeah, it was a ranch accident. And I did not go to the ER, did not get stitches. I stopped the intense bleeding, and I began on a nutritional course, and I severed the lateral ligaments. And I lost.
That is one of the indications for conventional medicine, though. They're really good at that stuff.
Look, if I had broken the bone or severed the main ligament, I would have gone in for microsurgery.
Okay.
I would have done that. And I'm not telling anybody else what not to do, but I determined that I didn't have a broken bone, and I'd severed the lateral ligaments, which surgery really couldn't help me with. So I went on nutrition and superfoods, and I did, you know, lion's mane mushroom and you know, all my normal things that I do, and added some extra things.
Any collagen?
Absolutely. Tons of collagen.
Yeah, because that's what ligaments are made out of, collagen.
No,
it's actually the third most common protein in your body, collagen.
I did collagen. I did turmeric.
It is the most common protein. 30% of your protein.
Yeah.
Is collagen.
No, I've been on collagen ever since. And I got to tell you, Dr. Mercola, in 9 weeks, I had regrown the nerves, and I had my feeling back on the fingertip. And by, I think, 10 or 11 weeks, I could fire a pistol again. And
that's your right
it's
hand.
It's a trigger finger. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Right. So, but my point is that this was a reminder to me that what you teach and what I teach, it works. It absolutely 100%. Works.
Yeah, you're a tremendous example of that. You know, you just because your body wants to stay healthy. That's what it's designed to do. It was not designed to get sick and be fed some pharmaceutical medicine.
Right.
That is absolutely wasn't the plan.
Right. It's and just what. And let me add too, I mean, not only did I get nerve feeling back, but now my nerves on the tip of my finger are more sensitive than before by far. And the second point, which my, the doctor I eventually went to after 5 weeks, he couldn't believe I had no pain. I had no pain during the entire healing process, pain-free nutrition-based healing. And it absolutely worked.
Did you use biophotons like red light?
I did. I thought.
That's the only thing that makes sense because you have to have red light to catalyze that process.
I think it was 808 nanometer wavelength. What I use. And
that's
I also
near infrared, even better. Near infrared.
I use that daily and I used a tuning fork. So I would, you know, hammer the tuning fork and put it on the joint and it would just propagate all those, you know, ultrasonic frequencies as well through the structure. And that's how I healed it. And
well, you could actually, it would be great. Why don't you, I'm open to guest modules. So why don't you want to create a module on how to heal wounds that happen on the farm or the ranch, you know, cause that's one of the things that that's where conventional medicine is exceptional. They're so good at addressing that. They're the best you can possibly hope for. And we can approximate it. We don't need all their craziness, but it's a good skill set, but we're going to need those types of interventions, those types of strategies, because it's inevitable. People fall down. They're going to get injured. So you need something to do. And it never occurred to me. That isn't in my current module set, but it should be just for this very reason. So
well,
thank
I'd
you.
Be happy to contribute that. Love to do that. It was, you know, you never ask to be injured, to be reminded how natural medicine works. I didn't ask like to lose my finger, you know, it's horrible. To think about going through life and made me feel sorry for people who have lost limbs and, you know, veterans with injuries and people born with disabilities and so on. But it's not hopeless. There are things that go beyond what traditional medicine even thinks are possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's just literally miraculous if you're not familiar with it before. But there's, you know, I've recently, I don't know if you've heard of the biologist who passed away last year, Ray Peet. You might have. Have you heard of him before?
No, I haven't.
Oh, he's a very interesting guy. He was a high carb guy, but totally iconoclast, you know, that just had these novel ideas, stood out against the crowd. And I thought he was wacko for 3 decades until like literally months before he died. Then I finally understood what he was, explaining. And I think he was right all along. So, you know, and it's just magical. It's all fundamentally is about optimizing mitochondrial function, and it's totally diametrically opposed to like high fat, low carb, keto world.
Right.
I mean, which works for some people initially, but long term, that's a disaster.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm seeking to share this information and just provide it with people, and so that they can use that. Because you're right. Once your body is energized, because you have to have fuel, you have to have the ATP to cellular energy to initiate these processes. And if your mitochondria are impaired or dysfunctional, and usually it's because you're just blasted with seed oils through the roof.
Yes.
So that's the first step. You've got to get seed oils. That's, you know, sun exposure is number one. Number two is getting seed oils out of your diet.
And
they're basically free. You know, this is the things, those are the biggest movers that you can possibly have. And then walking and exercise. That doesn't cost anything. But if you've got these lifestyle strategies active and engaged, by the time you need them, you're going to have all this reserve and resiliency that you'll be able to respond to any emergency or challenge that you have.
Exactly.
So, just simple things.
Yeah, exactly. If you can eliminate, for example, the comorbidities that went along with so many people who were, in essence, murdered in the hospitals, you know, if you don't bring those comorbidities in, you're so much better off from day one. You can deal with these things much better. You know, even the insults that were thrust upon people by the hospitals and while depriving you of ivermectin, you know, ivermectin is a lifesaver. Well, Dr. Mercola, in kind of wrapping this up, number one, I'm really excited about this content that you're working on, and please keep us posted. We'd love to help promote
that. I will, absolutely.
And secondly, let me remind the audience to visit your website, mercola.com, which I have up on my screen right now, mercola.com. You know, I think most of our audience is familiar with your site.
Probably,
to begin with. Yeah, and then let me just say, I'm honored to be to know you all these years and to know your work and your passion for what you do. And I just want to thank you on behalf of humanity for having the courage to keep doing what you're doing. You're really a gem for the human race. No, that's not an exaggeration. And I'm not asking you for anything. You know, I'm just saying, I just want to acknowledge who you are and what you've done for this world.
Well, thank you. It's my mission. It's amazing when you have really no ulterior motives other than to help people, the amazing things that you can do. It's just shocking, really. And I'm constantly surprised at it. So thank you for those kind words. And, you know, you've been a real pioneer and stalwart and spreading the truth and helping inform people where they still have a chance to do something. So thanks for all your hard work and efforts in this area, too.
Well, absolutely. And I think that, you know, I'm focused a lot on technology to help empower other voices also, you know, and you're putting out new content that's going to be life-saving content. I'm going to definitely make a copy for my family and friends and make sure everybody's got a hard copy of that once you come out with that.
Perfect.
And in the meantime, you know, keep in touch and consider us a resource. You know, we're on Team Humanity. So whatever we can do to help you,
absolutely,
let
absolutely.
Me know.
And it's a small team, actually.
Yes.
Compared to who we're opposed to. It's literally David versus Goliath.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, God bless you, Dr. Mercola, and thank you for joining me today.
All right, thank you.
Well, there you go, the interview with Dr. Joseph Mercola, folks. Feel free to repost this interview on other platforms and share it with everybody that you can, even though, of course, Brighteon links are currently banned on Twitter. But this will also be posted on Rumble and other platforms, so you can share those links more easily. Visit Mercola.com to check out Dr. Joseph Mercola's content, and we will keep you posted as well about his upcoming content that I'm personally very excited to hear about that. I can't wait to see that come out. And, you know, again, this man has done decades of research and work to attempt to just benefit humanity. And he deserves massive credit for this. You know, in fact, in terms of history, Dr. Joseph Mercola deserves some real recognition. He deserves an apology from this current administration, as probably we all do. But Dr. Mercola, if I could nominate him for, you know, like a Congressional Medal of Freedom or something, that would be my vote because of the work that he's done and the impact that he's had on humanity. And we are all in the same boat here right now. Team Humanity, trying to help people, trying to end human suffering and help people enjoy life in a more healthful, mindful way with less suffering, more abundance, happiness, joy, and human capabilities and everything that goes along with that, innovation, entrepreneurship, creativity, you name it. So that is what people like Dr. Joseph Mercola is working to support through nutrition, health, and wellness, and so much more. So thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, of course, the founder of Brighteon.com and the publisher of naturalnews.com, which also shares those same goals. Thank you for watching today. Take care. All right, this is a big deal, folks. We now have available for the first time in our own brand at the Health Ranger store, we have N-acetylcysteine, or NAC, as it's known. I've got some bottles here on my desk. You see the NAC and also chlorella tablets, both of which support the body's natural detoxification processes, by the way. But N-acetylcysteine is so effective at supporting your body that, of course, Amazon has stopped selling it. It's very difficult to find, by the way, but we have it in stock. If you go to healthrangerstore.com, you can see we have it right here featured on the homepage, maximum antioxidant protection. And if you find out, if you learn about NAC and what it achieves in the body, you'll know why Amazon doesn't want you to have it, by the way, because, you know, it's all tied to Bezos and that whole operation. But we do non-GMO, non-China, plant-based, made in the USA, laboratory tested for heavy metals, glyphosate, microbiology, and more. Check it out at healthrangerstore.com with many of our other natural immune supporting and natural detoxification support products. Again, healthrangerstore.com, and we thank you for your support. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.